This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy St. Joseph's Day 2025. Spending an hour talking about the Italian-Americans as we did about the Irish-Americans on St. Patrick's Day. Peter Gilberti joins us now, president of the Italian-American St. Joseph Society. Happy St. Joseph's Day to you, sir.
Happy St. Joseph, Tommy. Viva San Giuseppe. Salute.
There you go. Tell me, Chintani, 100 years? What's the toast?
Chintani. You'll work on that, Tommy. You'll have it done by the end of our talk.
I hope so. Let's talk about your heritage. Have you traced it back?
I have. I am Italian on my father's side, reigning from Padua, which is in the Veneto area, and Liropoli, Convenza, which is in the Calabria region. And then you jump into the sea and swim over to Trapani, Erice, Sicily, on my mother's side. Mm-hmm. So I'm Italian on my father's side and Sicilian on my mother's side, which there is a difference. And everybody says, and I just went to Europe in the fall, and, you know, everybody's dubbed as being Italian. But if you talk to people, they'll say I'm Italian, and Sicilians will tell you I'm Sicilian.
Tell me what's the difference and why, Joseph?
I think it's just a regional thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a regional thing.
And like,
you know,
East Bank, West Bank?
Yeah, East Bank, West Bank. Or if you said, you know, you were an uptown person versus a Jefferson Parish suburbanite, you know, I guess you would say, in the simplest term, it's a cliquish thing.
Mm-hmm. How many times have you been to Italy?
This is my first, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? I'm sure you did. That's a dumb question. What was your favorite part of it, or did you tour the entire country?
Actually, I started in Venice and spent a couple of days on the ground in Venice, and then I hopped on a cruise line, Oceania cruise line in in Slovenia and Trieste, and went down the Adriatic Sea. So I saw more than just Italy, you know, the Venice, and then Croatia and Greece and Sicily and the island of Malta. And I ended up in Rome and spent some time in Rome. So I covered a lot of places in 2 weeks.
As did I when I went. It's hard to take it all in. I know they're not a big fan of the big cruise ships in St. Mark's Square at all. I don't know if they banned them or not, because they said the St. Mark's Square in Venice would just go dark when a big cruise ship passed, right?
Yeah, no, we had to water taxi. They won't let the cruise ships in. Yeah, we water taxi from our hotel there. But my wife and I both, we're ready when the time is right to get on the big bird and fly over and be on the ground in Italy, Sicily, and you know, see as much as we can.
I know Newell Norman's a young big fan of Italy as well. He loves going. Let's talk about the Italian-American history in New Orleans and the important part that they played, if you would. Peter, please.
Well, the as history shows, Tommy, that in the 1800s, it was mostly, and we were talking about distinction, Sicilians came here from Sicily because they were, and if you're looking for distinctions, they were more apt to towards working in the farm industry, sugarcane and things such as that, which, you know, was indigenous to them. And the similarities that existed here. And, I mean, it was, I don't know exactly when, we'd have to do the research, but see that it was, they were solicited from the United States for people to come here to take the place to work, you know, on the farms, you know, in the sugarcane farms. And they came here. And, of course, you know, when and I don't know if they went through Ellis Island or came straight to New Orleans. My grandfather came straight to New Orleans from Sicily. He was a cobbler. But they came here and, you know, they worked in the French Quarter. What was it? Standard Fruit Company became heavily involved after years of the migration here. The French Market, you know, basically, after a period of years, you know, they started investing, not just working in the French Quarter and branching out to Plaquemines Parish, Independence, Louisiana, a meat in those areas, and working farms and with produce, sugarcane, et cetera. The ones that stayed here in the city, they ended up taking over the French Quarter, for lack of better terms, and they dubbed it Little Palermo in the 1800s because it was so heavily populated by Sicilian immigrants that came here.
Let me take a break. We're going to pick it up. We come back. We'll talk about some of the festivities going on as well. Peter Gilberti is our guest, president of the Italian-American St. Joseph Society, as Italian can get, both Italian and Sicilian. Would that be appropriate, Peter?
That would be.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Appropriate. If my mother were with me, she would say that, you know, make sure you say that you're Sicilian, son.
Do you guys have pasta with every meal on holidays, etc.?
I have this conversation all the time, Tommy, that we ate pasta on a Thursday night, but it was a lighter meal. It wasn't many courses, right? And it was pasta with the red sugo sauce or gravy, whatever you want to term it. You know, that there's a lot of debate about that, of what we call it here, but and some protein. But then on Sunday, that was first course, and then you had various other proteins that follow, you know, whether it was roast or steak. And I mean, you know, you had stuffed artichokes when they were in season, and multiple fresh vegetables, always fresh. We never ate things out of the freezer section or of a tin can.
Let me take the
Mediterranean diet,
all right,
which is what they say is the healthiest.
Yeah, all right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, 942, 18 till 10. Traffic now, WWL. 9:49, 11 till 10. Happy St. Joseph's Day. Peter Gilberti, our guest, president of the Italian-American St. Joseph Society. Peter, tell me about some of the activities going on around the city today to celebrate. Tell me how you said it, St. Joseph's Day.
Viva San Giuseppe.
Viva San Giuseppe. There you go. What are some of the things going on?
Well, as far as my awareness, Tommy, I mean that there's numerous St. Joseph altars, you know, that stems back to the paying homage to St. Joseph. Again, you know, many years ago in Sicily, there was a famine due to a drought, and the Sicilians turned to their patron saint, St. Joseph, the stepfather of Christ, right, and prayed to him for rain. And the rains came, and the crops grew. And the most prevalent crop was, that's why they call it a lucky bean here in America, was the fava bean. Mm-hmm. And favas actually are very good. If you've never eaten them, you know, you shuck them out of the shell, and then you saute them with a little olive oil, garlic, and onions, and it's delicious. But the part of the paying homage, part of the promise, that was that, you know, that they would have this bountiful feast in representation of, you know, if their prayers came true, and pay homage to St. Joseph each and every year. And that's where the altars began. And if you look at the food that's on the altars, you know, the artichokes and the fish, and they do the pasta melanesa, which, you know, the anchovies or the sardines that are in there, you know, represent the salt. It represents the tears that Christ shed on the cross. The breadcrumb topping they call, which I'm about to go pick up about 50 pounds of that from somebody who makes it for us for our big deal tomorrow. The mudica is fried breadcrumbs with sugar and olive oil, and that's thrown over the top, as opposed where you would put, you know, cheese, pecorino romano, whatever you want on top of, and they use that. Those that represents the sawdust of Saint Joseph the carpenter. So the various other dishes that are on the Saint Joseph altar, all of that is to pay homage, and that is happening. It used to, you know, I'm 63 years old, and when I was a child, that happened more so in homes. Mm-hmm. And then as years progressed and things changed, and then schools started doing it, and they do it in their churches, you know, Catholic schools, and they do it in their gymnasiums. You know, there may be public ones. Dornack's grocery store has one on display. Rouse's grocery store, they have Italian lineage in both of those stores, and they put a St. Joseph altar. That's happening all around today.
I think Carmel used to do one. My kid went to Mount Carmel.
Academy does one. If you went on the internet, and you'd find the whole list. We have one on our website of all the area schools, churches, et cetera, that have one. Mount Carmel Academy, Holy Rosary does one. Chappelle High School does one. I believe Jesuit does one. De La Salle. They all today pay homage to St. Joseph in that way with the altar. That's what's happening today. It's a viewing yesterday, a viewing today, and then depending upon their schedules at certain times, you have St. Joseph over in Gretna, which is a huge one. Mm. That goes back many generations. And after the viewing, they will feed the masses, as I say, feed the people. You come in, you make a donation, and whatever they have that's typical of a St. Joseph altar, you can sit down and have a lunch, or tonight, you know, evening, a meal. And that's what's going on around the city today.
What's the website, Peter?
Our website is ItalianAmericanSt.Joseph.org.
All right, people can go there and find out. Real quick, what's your favorite thing on the St. Joseph altar?
I know my wife may be listening. She's at work. I'm off today, fortunately. I would go for the pasta melanese, the artichokes, and for a sweet tooth, the cucciadotti. The cucciadotti is the fig cookie.
Yeah.
The cookie stuffed with the figs, and it's, as the little kids would say, it's got sprinkles on the top, right?
They're
donuts.
I presume you've had cassata cake?
Yes, I've had cassata.
Oh,
I'm not a big cake person, and also the sesame seed cookies too.
Okay, I think that cassata cake.
You go to Bricata's. Yeah. I keep plugging people. You go to Bricata's and you'll find everything that under the sun that you would want. That's a Sicilian confectionery right there.
That cassata cake reminded me of wedding cake and cheesecake all together. Happy St. Joseph's Day, Peter. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You.
Hope you have a fantastic day. And tell me again how to say 100 years.
Shintani, and tomorrow is our 500 pounds pasta con lasagna at the Hilton Riverside Hotel, high noon, open to the public. And then Saturday will be our parade at 6 p.m. Convention Center and Porgia Street, and we'll make our way over into the French Quarter, as I said earlier, Little Palermo, and then back to the Hilton for a gala beginning at 9 p.m., a ticketed event, and we will dance, sing, and party into the wee hours of the night.
Shintani.
Shintani, Tommy. Thank you very much.
You bet. We'll
appreciate
take a break.
Support.
Thank you, sir. Happy St. Joseph's Day. We'll talk to Newell when we come back. WWL.